It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum number 48, and I want you to picture this scene. I'm sitting at my desk just now and looking out the window. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. Beautiful sunny day here in Bonnie Dundee in Scotland. And I have just slept my last night in this house, which has been my home for 27 years. And by the time this goes out, I'll be on our way to Australia, where some of you have asked, will this be continuing? Absolutely. Will it become Australian? Well, I hope it's kind of international. We'll still look at what's going on in the UK and in America, in Australia, in Africa, in Asia. And that's what we try to do in Quantum. But we reflect on how things change as well. And let's just think for a moment about advertising. Now, listen to this from the head of the advertising authority in the United Kingdom, talking about why they are banning certain adverts or gender stereotypes within adverts.
So we have brought in a new rule. You mustn't include gender stereotypes that are likely to cause harm in ads. Alongside that, we brought in some formal guidance that sets out where we're likely to draw the line. So obviously you can carry on showing a woman doing the shopping in an ad or a man doing the DIY. But if the message of the ad is that it's a woman's job to clean up the house, if the message of the ad is that a man is incapable of doing pretty basic tasks like changing a nappy or working the washing machine just because of his gender, then watch out.
You said
we're going to be stopping that.
Okay, you say that causes harm. What is harm?
Well, harm is causing us to have a narrower sense of what we can do in life, and it's causing others to have a narrower sense of what we can do in our lives too. We know that these gender stereotypes, depictions of roles and characteristics, have a particular impact on children.
How do you know that?
Because the research tells us that. They internalise this sort of stuff.
Now, what's fascinating in that is, I think they're just substituting one stereotype for another. And, you know, just thinking more widely in terms of adverts, we need to be careful. Adverts are not just selling us products, but they're being used to sell us lifestyles. And I think that's indicated in this particular instance. So he talks about, we want to ban gender stereotypes that can do harm without defining what harm is, except to say, causing us to have a narrower sense of what we can do in life. Well, here we go from a Christian perspective. I think that most adverts cause harm. Why? Because they cause us to have a narrower sense about what we can do in life. So you want to live life to the max? You drink Pepsi. You want to have good relationships, you wear links, if that's what you call good relationships. Everything is reduced to the material. I know there's a lot of virtue signaling in adverts and everything else, but at the end of the day, our adverts tend to teach a philosophy which I think restricts us in life and is actually harmful. So by the advertising standards, own standards, advertising authorities' own standards, they should probably ban most adverts. Of course they won't, but they will seek to impose their values upon us all. And, do you know, again, I think it's part of an increasing tendency within Western society to assume that people can't think for themselves. Now, speaking of thinking for ourselves, have a listen to this, see if you recognise this.
I cut down trees, I skip and jump, I like to press wildflowers. I put on women's clothing and hang around in bars.
I suspect Monty Python at the time were anarchic and Maybe people wanted to ban them. You know, we've almost gone full cycle because we've now got to a stage where I think progressives would ban Monty Python. In fact, they're going to. ITV have just said they will never have any comedy show which does not have 50-50 male-female representation, or at the very least, they've got to be 50% female writers as well. Now, that would ban Monty Python because they were all male. They were all male writers who wrote that. It's, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I feel that we're just coming into this much more restrictive society. And it's a much more censorious society. You know, we will continue to speak out and we will continue to talk about the things that matter. But we're finding more and more. For example, a shop worker in Asda has lost his job because he shared a YouTube clip of Billy Connolly having a real go at Christianity, religion in general, and Islam. And it's the latter part that's got him fired. So you're fired for sharing a comedy clip. Now, I think the clip's horrendous, by the way. I just think it's very sad when people like Connolly are so anti-religious. But firing people for expressing a point of view or sharing someone else's point of view? I think part of the general trend here is that we are really, really struggling to think for ourselves. And part of thinking for ourselves is questioning. So in the United Kingdom at the moment, we're having not an election for a prime minister because we don't have a presidential system whereby people vote for the leader. We have a parliamentary system whereby we vote for our members of parliament who then vote for the leader. But Theresa May has resigned and she is going to be replaced by another Conservative. And it will be an MP who becomes the leader of the Conservative Party. And we're down to two at the moment. Boris Johnson, colourful character and much that could be said about him, but I won't. And Jeremy Hunt, who, you know, has many positive things you could say and negative things you could say about him as well. And not least, Mr. Hunt has proposed increasing the limit on abortion, or just rather decreasing it, so you can't have an abortion so late on in life. And he's also spoken up very strongly for Christians who are being persecuted throughout the world. So those are good things. But here's a clip of him speaking in an interview showing that, you know, he's on message with the rest of, how will I put it, elitist society.
And for me, being gay is, it's like being left-handed. It's something that you're born with. It's not something you choose. It's not something you can change. And that's why we have to recognise every child. Every child needs to understand that. And this is one of the great pieces of progress that we've made. And so we have to leave no stone unturned in making sure that every school, including faith schools, is making sure that we get the right messages across to our children.
Now, this clip's been shared many times to show that Jeremy Hunt's a decent guy, that he knows what he's doing and all the rest of it. And I even hesitate before criticising it, because it does sound, if you criticise it, as though you're having a go at gay people. And that's not the case. As a Christian, the Christian perspective is all human beings are made in the image of God and all are to be loved and all are to be respected. So that's what I would say. But I want to be able to question. So when Jeremy Hunt says that being gay is not something you can change, you're born with, and that every child needs to understand that, let me question that. Is that true? I've studied this quite a lot and I've spoken to lots of people. And as far as I know, there is no evidence that there is any kind of genetic component in terms of homosexuality. I've also got friends or colleagues, people I speak to as well, who've said, well, you know, I am gay, but it's a lifestyle that I choose. And then others who say, well, I didn't choose it. It's just something that I am. So I feel that there's much more nuance in this than many would suggest. And then here's the other thing. What about people who have changed? I know people who would have said that they were heterosexual and now say they're homosexual. And I know people who are homosexual who would now say that they're heterosexual. You know, maybe Peter Tatchell's right that there is a fluidity and maybe it's about the actions and so on. Now, I think it's much more complex than Mr. Hunt says, but here's my point. It is heresy in this country to question that. And children are going to be indoctrinated with something that is demonstrably not true. Now, I think children should be taught to respect all people. And the basis of that, I think, is that we are all made in the image of God. But this is how deeply ingrained this indoctrination has become in our culture, that in order to appear nice, a potential prime minister has to say this. And woe betide him if he ever said anything else. Okay, speaking of potential prime ministers, here's a confession. I was strongly anti-Margaret Thatcher, but I've recently been watching A Very British Revolution, looking at the life and career of Margaret Thatcher, and it's been particularly impressive. Do you remember when, or many of you will be too young to remember this, Mrs. Thatcher, the Tory party conference was bombed in Brighton and she was almost killed. Well, in episode 3 of A Very British Revolution, there's this just extraordinary picture of her. Listen to what her secretary says about what they did after the bombing.
We were taken to the police college for the night and she and I were allocated a twin bedded room together. And she said, there will be some casualties. She said, I think it would be nice if we said a prayer. She immediately kneeled down by the bed and we said a silent prayer. And she put her head back and she went almost fast asleep for about an hour.
5:45 a.m.
She's almost been killed. And she says to her secretary, let's get down on our knees and pray. I think that's remarkable. And I think it's wonderful. It would be a few years before son of Thatcher, Tony Blair's, Alistair Campbell would be saying about Blair, we don't do God when asked about prayer. Well, I think Thatcher did. I also have to say that I like this about her. This is what she said at the end of the programme.
If all you've got to criticise is my style, it's not very much. I became Prime Minister because I believed certain things. Yes, I do hold firm views. Do you really want a leader who doesn't know what she wants to do, hasn't got any views, doesn't attempt to lead? If so, you don't want me.
Do you really want a leader who hasn't got any views? I became Prime Minister because I believe certain things. Just looking at the election contest, and maybe comparing her with Boris Johnson, comparing with, you know, many of our politicians. Maybe it's dangerous to have beliefs, but maybe it's even more dangerous not to have them and just to go with the flow on whatever. Maybe we need more conviction politicians like Thatcher. I'm not saying that we would necessarily have all her policies, but it would be good to have men and women who are leaders who have genuine and real convictions. Another indicator of where we're at in our culture is the MP Mark Fields. Now, he was shown at a dinner where the Chancellor of the Exchequer was speaking, standing up and manhandling a female protester dressed in a red gown as she walked past. He says he thought she was going to attack someone or there was a danger of that, and maybe there could have been. Now, there are lots of things that are wrong with that, and there are lots of things that are wrong with the reaction to it. I note that in our gender equal society, most of the papers focused on the fact that she was a woman and he was a man. Well, what if he'd been a man? Or what if she had been a man? You know, what difference would that have made? I tell you this, I don't think it would have got nearly as much publicity. And then here's my difficulty. I do think women should be treated differently. I will teach boys and men, you don't hit a woman. Why? Because I just think that's part of where we're at. Now, here's our culture saying men and women are absolutely equal and should be treated exactly the same. And yet when this happens, it's not an equal reaction. But there is something else about this that's even more profoundly disturbing to me. And that is this. That story was headline news for 2 days. But the same day, 44 men in Rotherham were charged with child sexual abuse. Now, we are talking here about hundreds of children, young girls especially. And it was barely a paragraph in most newspapers. Now, I know that there are reporting restrictions because there's an ongoing trial and all the rest of it. But it does indicate to me that our political class and our media class, if you like, do live in a different world. They live in a bubble where a Tory MP grabbing a woman is a major issue, but hundreds of children being abused in a northern town is relatively insignificant. Now, we've also had a horrendous case in the United Kingdom in this past week, where for the first time, a court had ruled that a woman who is mentally handicapped could be forced to have an abortion that she did not want. We're talking about forced abortion. And this woman was told that she would have the baby replaced by a doll. They would get her a new doll. Now, thankfully, that has been overturned. But abortion continues to be a major issue, both here and in the United States. I noticed in Scotland that it was reported that our birth rate is at a 17-year low. And here's fascinating. This is what the Scottish government's reaction to that is. Their reaction is, what we need to do is get more immigrants to come in to replace the birth rate. Well, can I suggest something a little bit different? We're about 400,000 people short, apparently, of what they want the population to be. That, ironically, is the number of babies who've been killed in the womb since the 1967 Abortion Act. So how about we stop killing our children? Maybe that will help. How about we stop denigrating the family? How about we focus on the importance of needing a family and fathers and mothers to bring up children? But the world, as we've said already, keeps changing. And across in the US, the potential Democratic candidate for president, Castro, came out with just something. You can't believe this. Saying that trans women have the right to have an abortion. See, trans women are men, and they don't have a uterus. It used to be said, if you don't have a uterus, you don't have a right to talk about abortion. Well, these men who say that they are women, who identify as women, don't have a uterus. They can't have an abortion. Having the right to have an abortion. You know, it goes back to the Monty Python, the sketch we've played often about the Judean People's Front wanting to be. You want to be a woman, a man who wants to be a woman. And John Cleese goes, well, you can't be a woman because you haven't got a womb. You haven't got a uterus. No, it doesn't matter. You have the right. And here we have a situation where a man has the right to have an abortion, even though he can't.
You chose to do so.
I think it's silly to have anything other than two genders. So
that, okay. Anything else is a personal opinion. Could you please keep that opinion to your own house? Thank you. Not in this. So you get.
Remember the boy we featured last week who got thrown out of his class because he questioned the teacher when the teacher said that there were more than two genders? Well, that boy is now being suspended, and he's been suspended for secretly filming the teacher. But what got me about that is the gobbledygook that comes from Aberdeen Council, whose spokesperson said this: it's important to understand the context of any video clip taken without a person's consent. Well, that's correct. In our schools, fostering good relations among different groups can be a real challenge, but our aim is to support a fairer, inclusive environment for all. Yeah, except those who believe that there's male and female. You have to be excluded. It's the irony of the council spokesperson saying, we want a fairer, inclusive environment for all, after suspending a boy who's been thrown out of class for his view that male and female are the only genders. How is that fair? And how is that inclusive? But hey, we have some good news on this front. The Scottish government, because of pressure from within the SNP, has suspended its Gender Recognition Act and is consulting again. That actually is good news. And also there's good news from the Scout, the Boy Scout Association, the Girl Guides is just awful just now, who've revised their transgender guidance to be much more sane and to be less, how will I put it, less supportive of mermaids and other trans activist groups. And that's also good news. Such good news, in fact, that the kind of green radicals like Patrick Harvey, the progressive radicals, are getting worried. Listen to what Mr. Harvey had to say at a rally outside the Scottish Parliament.
Their hostility to trans rights and to trans people as a wedge to pit us against one another, to split progressive parties apart. We've only made that progress over recent decades by standing together, by saying, your oppression is my oppression, your liberation is my liberation, and we've got each other's back. That's why we've made the progress that's been made. I dread to think, I really dread to think what kind of society we'd been living in if over the last 20 or 30 years we hadn't seen that solidarity, that banding together, and that progress that resulted.
I think he's getting worried because the revolution is eating itself. But he did say something there that's very interesting. He said, in 20 years' time, we need to stand together. Well, surely that's got to be true of people in the church as well, that those who are Bible-believing Christians need to stick together. We need to support one another. We need to encourage one another. We spend far too much time fighting, don't we? I think Mr. Harvey's got it right, at least about that.
Why am I alive?
You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah. Bo? Forky, come on.
Bo?
Been to see Toy Story yet? Well, I'm told it actually is brilliant. I think the Toy Story movies are. But I had to laugh when I heard a review on Radio 4, a review programme, in which people were actually sitting around and genuinely discussing this, complaining that there were no transgender toys, that the main characters are white, and that Bo Peep married a heterosexual. Oh my goodness. Mind you, maybe Sporky could be at least some kind of trans character. Just one or two other items of news. In world news, Xi Jinping and Kim Jong-un have been meeting. Leaders of China and North Korea, respectively. I think that is important. Something to pray about. Something else to pray about. The drought in India has been the worst in decades. And it's caused life to be miserable. Many people losing their lives. Remember that. In the United States, President Trump has begun his re-election campaign. Immigration remains a real issue. And especially the issue of children in detention camps, which we rightly see as horrific. Although it should also be pointed out that President Obama did the same thing. It doesn't make it right. In fact, I think it's appalling. But that's ongoing. And in Australia, the Falau case continues to grow and develop in a kind of culture war there. And I think we need to reflect on that a little bit more in terms of, and we will do in a future quantum. But I think not so much as the religious freedom versus the don't hurt, you know, homosexual feelings. I think we need to broaden the debate, if you like, a wee bit more. But we'll leave that there. I'm going to have to love you and leave you, and as the removal van arrives. But As I'm thinking about leaving these shores, here's the sound of something that I've heard since I was a child. The Archers. I don't listen to it, but my mother has. June Spencer has been playing Peggy Archer for 70 years. June Spencer celebrated her 100th birthday. She's still goes on the show occasionally, still recognised when she speaks. I think that's quite remarkable. And may God grant those of you who are our older listeners, you may have many, many, many years of service yet. That woman began on the Archer show 70 years ago. Just incredible. Okay. Well, if you want to support, you can go to our Quantum, you can go to our Podbean thing. Hopefully next time I'll be recording this in Australia. But I leave you with one fact of the week. Just interesting. More than 60,000 books for sale on Amazon have a variant of the word mindfulness in them. Well, those of us who are Christians, let's be mindful of Christ and let's be mindful of one another. God bless you and see you next week. It makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in a society hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep. We are in this world not loving, not if he's getting wrong from me. We shine like